That's the minutes from last time.
Bring your document in with you.
Oh, good.
Spell.
No, I don't need to. So we have the minutes from last time. Have we any comments? Was that a
proposal?
A proposal?
Seconded.
Yeah. Right. Any against? There we go. Have we any apologies?
None received, Chair.
Even better. And officers' reports. Auditor's annual report. Pages 3 to 43.
Yeah, shall I give an introduction on this one, Chair? I think, first of all, if we'd just like to introduce ourselves. My name's Andy Reid from AZETS. We're the external auditors to Stafford Borough Council now.
Yeah.
Michael Butler is an associate director as well with us.
Well, good evening, and I have to say, it is slightly unusual for us to see auditors. We have been through a period where auditors didn't manage to turn up because they were terribly busy people. And then dobbed us in right at the end with a big load of stuff that we'd really not have seen. But thank you very much for picking up the baton.
Yeah.
And going for it in spite of all the things that we did wrong.
Yeah, thanks for that. And as you say, so AZETS have been appointed now by PSAA, Public Sector Audit Appointments Limited. So we took over responsibility for the council's accounts from the 23-24 financial year.
Right.
Which is why on the agenda today we've actually got all auditors' annual reports for 23-24 and 24-25. As you say, the previous auditors who were Grant Thornton, then the last audit year that they did was 22-23. So the position we're in, basically, we've picked up the responsibility for the audit. We're aware that Grant Thornton issued their auditor's annual report for 22-23, I think in about February 2024, and reported a number of significant weaknesses on value for money arrangements and also disclaimed the council's 22-23 accounts.
Yeah.
So the position myself and Michael in now is trying to effectively recover that position. So what we've presented on today, for your information, is the auditor's annual reports that summarise an update on the value for money findings. To be honest, though, the position we're in for 23-24, so we, say Grant Thornton reported in around February 24, we then had to issue our opinion on the 23-24 accounts by February 2025 because the government has now introduced statutory backstop arrangements. So we just basically didn't have time within that period to do a full audit on the 24-25 accounts.
Yep.
And also because the significant value for money weaknesses had been only reported towards the end of the 23-24 financial year, I think realistically the council wasn't in a position to actually do much about them in terms of the amounts of 23-24.
Yeah.
So the effectively for 23-24 we reported those same significant weaknesses. For 24-25, the National Audit Office has now introduced a requirement that we bring a formal auditor's annual report to Audit Committee before the end of November every year, which is why we're bringing it to this meeting. But for 24-25, we're basically still in the process of considering the position on the value for money areas. So it's almost kind of a holding report to you now to say that the five significant weaknesses were still there from the previous year. We're just working through and assessing whether or not we think any of those have not been addressed. So we're required to report that by February, and that's what we're working through now with Chris and Judith and other
right.
officers. So it's a bit of a holding report, really. So at this stage, we're not sure whether any of those significant weaknesses will drop off, but that's what we're working through.
Right. The report, I notice you've got a number of things that you hold in for February.
Mm.
When will we get a chance to look at them before the February meeting?
So, as you say, the February is a key date because it's the backstop date, so we need to formally report on the 24-25 accounts and value for money assessment by then. I mean, we can discuss the timings of getting reports to you. I think if there's, you know, if you'd like to see reports within a certain time scale or ahead of the meeting, then we can work around that.
Actually, for me, I only come back from holiday 2 days before the meeting. So having them early ain't going to help. Just spoil my holiday earlier. So I was just wondering if they would be available. I've got 2 days to actually read everything before we get to the meeting.
I mean, we can make, I think for the 24-25 accounts, I mean, the other document we've got on the agenda is our audit plan for 24-25.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because of the position we're in now with a number of years of disclaimed accounts that Stafford Borough Council's had, which is similar to many of our clients, so there's a lot of authorities in this position.
Yeah.
So for 24-25, we pretty much know now that we'll be disclaiming the accounts again.
Yeah.
Because it's just not possible to rebuild assurance on the 3 or 4 disclaimed previous periods. I guess the key thing we can say is we are working closely with Chris, Judith, Emma and the finance team to actually start that process now. So we've started work on the accounts. But I think the outcome for 24-25 will be, unfortunately, we'll have to disclaim again. The bit that we will need to work through is the value for money area. So,
yeah.
So that we can see as in terms of timing as to when we can get some indication as to our likely conclusions on value for money.
Yeah.
We need to work that through with Chris and Judith as to time zone.
Chair.
Yeah.
What are the consequences of having these disclaimed accounts like for the past 3 years?
In theory, they show we're a bad authority because we can't get accountants to actually sign off our accounts. In practice, because almost everybody in the industry, I gather from Chris, tells me he's doing better than everybody else, but they're in the...
Not everyone.
But there are a large number of authorities who are solvent but can't prove they can get their accounts signed off because they've got exactly the same problems we have, can't retain qualified staff for long enough to do all the work, and are really struggling to cope with the government's requirements and timetables. And as we're now hearing, that has a knock-on effect. By the time you get where you can start doing it, you've got 3 years of accounts to go through. And actually, I've not heard any censure from anyone about the position that we and lots of other people are in and trying to work their way out of. So the practical implication is probably zero.
Do you have to do all the past accounts, or can you just work on the current one and put a stake in the ground there that they're right?
Well, unfortunately, accounts are a snapshot in a period of time. You have to have a defined start point signed off. And until you can do the last accounts, you really can't guarantee your start point for your next set, I think is the summary.
Essentially, I mean, that is the position at the moment, and as you say, a lot of councils are in this position.
Yeah.
A lot of audit firms are now working through how to recover the situation. There has been some talk about whether it might be possible to have some kind of statutory override and avoid the need to go back. But at the moment, in terms of, you know, current accounting standards, as you say, we'd have to go back to the last clean audit opinion, which is, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
I've got a question. Since when there has been a disclaimed audit? So it was 21, 22, 22, 23, but before that?
I think it was 21, 22 was the last full set of accounts that we got signed off, wasn't it?
So it's only the two previous ones who are disclaimed. Well, there is disclaimed.
22, 23, 21, 22.
Yeah.
22, 23,
okay.
Now 24, 25. Okay. And then you said you were appointed by who?
Because we're appointed by Public Sector Audit Appointments Limited. So
because Grant Thornton didn't want.
It was just because the so all of the within all local authorities generally opt into public PSAA handle the audit appointment process, and it's generally on a 5-year contract. So Grant Thornton's contract basically came to its end at the end of 2022.
Okay, but even so, you put yourself forward for this, no?
We did.
Okay. you never know, you know, something.
Yeah.
You will do this one.
Yeah.
At the time that Azetta were appointed, we didn't actually know what the position was in terms of how many bodies would have disclaimed accounts. So
okay, this is the thing. Sorry, I've got a question. I had when I read this. So before taking on the job, what procedure did you have planned to tackle this issue? You didn't know about this issue?
No, we didn't actually know. At the time we were appointed, so because Grant Thornton disclaimed the 22-23 accounts in, I think it was December 24.
It was too late.
So,
yeah. Okay.
Well, we essentially didn't know that that was going to happen.
Okay,
until,
okay.
Until
well.
I mean, to be fair,
you were just crossing your fingers, weren't you?
we knew it was highly likely to happen for a number of our clients, and so we had been preparing for it as much as
okay.
We
could. I've got another question. It's about the audit. Because I noticed you said we can't have opening balances and so blah blah blah. So if we exclude the opening balances and the comparative periods, so did you have procedure to override this or?
I mean, for some parts of the accounts we can do that, but the basic problem is when you look at things like the general fund balance. That's built up over time, so
okay.
It's not really possible to get
okay,
short
I understand.
On that
mm.
fund. But there are some parts of the accounts we can audit without having to short on the imbalances. But
okay.
But as a whole, you still there's enough bits that you do need to short on the imbalances that means it's not possible to sign up the accounts.
Okay.
Right, you've had your supplementaries now.
It's fine. It's elsewhere on the agenda. I'll come back to it under the
audit. Okay. All right. So we're now in a position where everybody's in a big sea of mud and paddling fairly carefully to try and get to some solid ground, at which point we have no indication that we've any likelihood of not reaching solid ground. You have got no issues you have found that you think you need to put before us that are causing you huge concern about the validity of any of our accounts?
Not at this stage. I guess the issue we've got is so we have now started work on 24-25.
Yeah.
I mean, the production of the accounts has been delayed. I know that, as you'll be aware, and Chris will say, there have been capacity issues in the financing.
Yeah.
But we are now in a position where I think we're starting to see a lot of progress now. So, and the key for us now is to make sure we just set out a clear plan, agree with the council about how to build that process will work and what
yeah.
timescales
yeah.
are likely. And the other thing to say is this is a national issue, so there's been a lot of work done nationally through the National Audit Office. There's lots of changes being brought in to try and address this now.
Right.
There's grant funding available for the additional fees that will be necessary to rebuild assurance as well. So
yeah.
There are now lots of measures being put in place to provide clarity to councils and support the process of building back assurance. So, but I guess in terms of that process, though, it's still quite early days. We've only just
yeah.
really been able to start.
Thank you, Chairman. The idea of capacity has been mentioned, and we've had major problems with capacity. And just as we thought we were beginning to see a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, the government then in its wisdom decided that what the country needed more than anything else was a dose of local government reorganisation. And of course that has upset the apple cart for us and for authorities, I suspect, up and down, certainly the Shire authorities. And, you know, it's all up in the air again now. And officer time has been spent, a very considerable amount of officer time, and there's an opportunity cost in that. You can't get around it. If you're spending your time on A, you can't spend that same amount of time on B, C, or D. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the same discussion with Chris, obviously. I think the only thing we'd say is what we're trying to do is put together a plan for regional insurance that means that it'll be largely done before reorganisation actually happens. And that's, you know, that's what we'd want to aim for, because I think it's difficult to see how councils could be reorganised if there's no assurance on the accounts. So we are aiming for that, but as you say, though, you know, there are capacity issues by the fact that local government reorganisation will take a lot of management input to manage.
Right. So we're all in a bit of a muddy pool. And everybody's paddling like mad to do everything they can to move it forward. Because when you actually read it cold, it looks dreadful. When you actually lift the lid and look underneath, you find out that actually it's just muddy. Nobody has pointed out any disasters yet. That doesn't mean to say there aren't any, because there might be some under the mud, and that's your job to give us some confidence that you've looked at everything you can, and these are the actual issues underneath, what you really ought to be concentrating on.
Yeah.
But you're not in a position to do that yet.
No, and as I say, for 24-25, overall we will still have to issue a disclaimer, but what we're aiming to do is certainly provide some, I'm not sure we can technically call it assurance, but certainly some feedback to the management and the audit committee on the bits of the accounts we have been able to audit, like we've been looking at asset valuations, for example.
So we're faced with the fact we could spend quite a lot of time going through the detail here, but actually it's hardly worth the paper it's printed on, which as chair of the audit committee I find really, really annoying, but there's nothing much we can do about it.
I think that's why we felt it was important to actually come and talk to you about this, because as you say, I don't think you've seen auditors for a while, so we can kind of present the reports cold, but I think we would like to, you know, engage with the audit committee and just explain what our position is and what plans are in place to address this.
Yeah. Okay, so I thought it important to actually recognise that before we start going through the detail. Otherwise, we could spend 8 to 9 hours going through the detail here, because there's a lot of it, and really there aren't any answers. But you wanted to ask a question, I could tell.
No.
Oh, right.
I just had on page 23 of the audit report.
Significant risks and material misstatement? That page 23?
Really? Yes. This one.
No, that's page 23 on the report.
So
you're on 23 on the separate document.
21 then, maybe. I just...
Well, these are all put together.
Key recommendations.
Page 27 in the agenda, I think, Chair.
27 in the agenda.
No,
right.
21. It's written 21.
21 in the agenda.
Yeah.
In
it's just management response. I don't know who did the response.
Key recommendations, management response, under governance heading.
Yeah.
Right.
I just noticed that budget setting with investment, totaling £300,000 for the two councils. So Cannock is in it. I don't understand. It's. I think it's not a question for you, but more for Judith.
It's
21
it's
on the.
Page 21 on the pack. Under management response.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, so I think what we did when we put a comment in that, we're just acknowledging that those councils are invested in the finance team to try and handle through the problem. And it was an equal sum for both councils, wasn't it?
So how much was in Stafford?
it's 150k from each, isn't it?
Well, 151, 149, because
right.
there's a tiny discrepancy due to the electric shared service. I call it 150 for this purpose.
Okay. It's just because it rings, I say, woof. That's all. Sorry.
Okay. So, how would you like to take us through it?
I'm not sure it's that useful to go through the detail of this. In the first two papers, the Auditor's Annual Report talk about those and other findings. Essentially, all this really does at the moment is repeat the previous weaknesses that Grant Thornton raised. And we're currently now in the process of assessing to what extent we've been addressed in the current year. So I think that's the key feedback that we will need to give you before the end of February. At this stage, I think all we're doing is acknowledging the weaknesses that Grant Thornton had previously raised.
And to the best of your current knowledge, we've still got them.
I mean, these are discussions we've been having with Chris and Judith and working these through, I think. So we've probably not done enough at the moment to give a definitive view as to whether these are still weaknesses or whether they've been addressed.
Okay.
I think it's worth saying, Chair, that, you know, we are obligated to obviously recognise the risks raised by the previous auditor, because obviously we've got a duty to be able to ensure that they've been addressed.
Yeah.
But it's not just a case of us going to copy and paste and just assume that everything that was raised initially by GT that we automatically agree
yeah,
with.
Yeah.
We are undertaking our own risk assessment procedures, or we will be behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And almost not wiping the slate clean, because obviously we have to ensure that we are addressing those risks for members as well, because you can't just go, oh, here's 12 risks, but then all of a sudden it goes to zero, because that's not representative of the council. But we are working obviously with Chris and Judith to go, do we actually agree that those risks still exist based on our own risk assessment procedures? So like from an IT perspective, we're undertaking our own IT audit procedures.
Yeah.
We're looking at all the documents. We're not just assuming that GT had reasonable justification that we just have to roll it forward automatically. It's just, this is just a reference point to go, they are still there, they're still recognisable, but actually we are going to bring something in February that demonstrates we've actually done our own procedure.
So hindsight could help a bit.
I think it's an important point to make, actually, because our discussions with Chris, Emma and Judith are, I think some of these areas where GT raised a significant weakness, I don't think the council fully agreed it was a weakness. So
And for 3 years later the risk hasn't happened. They have some strength in their argument.
We do need, as Michael says, we need to follow up to some extent on the previous areas, but we will make our own decisions.
Yeah.
And we're being sort of proactive in terms of taking local government and organisation into consideration as well, to go, well, at what point can you actually address the risk, but without going too far, because you know LGR's around the corner, so it's again getting that balance of what is significant, what needs to be addressed now to give you as members the assurance, but also addresses what the initial potential risk was there in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's about getting that balance of everything in totality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I'm tempted to say, shall we go home then?
No, I got lots.
Yeah. Right, would you like to go fast as quickly as you would through what we've got here, just so everybody's certain of what they've got, and if anybody's got any questions on the way through.
Just to run through the papers briefly. So the first one we've got is the Auditor's Annual Report for the 23-24 financial year. Essentially though, because we can only start our work very late in 23-24, all this really does is effectively carry forward the weaknesses that Grant Thornton had previously reported. So at that stage, we didn't really have the opportunity to assess those ourselves. That's probably all I'd want to say about that report. I mean, technically, we did report these when we signed off the 23-24 accounts. We did report these, but I think we were conscious at the time that, you know, the council really hadn't had much opportunity to implement plans against these, and we had very limited scope to do a full time.
Okay.
The 24-25 Auditor's Annual Report, and I notice at this stage we seem to have changed our whole template and format of these documents. As I say, for this one, we've issued this now because there's now a requirement for all auditors to issue this by the end of November. And the NAO brought this in because there was such a backlog of audits not being signed up that, as you say, a lot of audit committees and members just weren't getting any feedback from auditors. So we're now required to report annually. Even if there's potentially nothing to say, we still have to issue a report.
Right.
And that's, I guess, the position we're in here, in that we've issued this report, but all we're really saying in the 24-25 auditor's annual report at the moment is that there are various areas that were flagged as risks because of previous significant weaknesses, but we're not yet in a position to have concluded the 24-25 as to whether those weaknesses
still exist. Yeah.
I think what we tried to do as well, Chair, is where the GT report in the model you received 22-23 and then the 23-24 that we've got at the start of this pack, the risks are very detailed and go down into a lot of detail where sometimes it can be convoluted into actually what the risk relates to.
Yeah.
So what we tried to do for 24-25 report, and you'll see on page it's 42 of the PDF pack that I've got, where it says the risk of significant weakness. We try to almost summarise that into an easier format to read, and then actually what does the risk represent to the council?
Yeah.
Because again, going from like 17 bullet points down to actually what are the core risks that need to be addressed. So that's what we tried to do, just to make it a little bit easier to understand and actually try to pinpoint exactly where the initial risk lay.
That one, Julie. Sorry. Value for money.
Yes,
and significant ones. Just before you get to that page. Has anybody got any comments on page 42?
Yeah. From what you were saying, it's not worth commenting on, really. In that we don't know, you know, it's built on sand, so
it is,
you can't really start criticising or commenting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So we've moved on to external audit plan.
Yeah. So the external audit plan, this sets out our planned approach for the 24-25 financial statements audit.
Yeah.
We're required under auditing standards to issue this as a formal document. As I said at the start, I mean, we almost know now that inevitably we will have to disclaim 24-25 again, just because we don't have assurance on the previous four financial years, I think it is. But what we've tried to do in here, though, is include quite a lot of detail about how we're going to approach the whole principle and the process of building back assurance to actually get to a position where we can sign off the accounts. And we've included, it's on page 57 of the pack, indicative timelines for what that might look like. And this does show that it will take a number of years to do this, probably pretty much right up to the end of the 2027-28 year, which I think is probably after which reorganisation may well happen. So that's what we've tried to do in here, is to set out the principles around how rebuilding assurance would work, what approach we'd take, because that's really the focus now. Is it's not so much on the 24-25 accounts as such, it's more about, you know, what's our overall wider strategy now. And that's, again, those are discussions we've been having with Chris and the finance team about how we can work together to actually achieve that overall objective.
Yeah, because we will not be able to go through the reorganisation unless we've got a solid set of accounts to finish on. So we'll all be in limbo until you're finished, really.
And I know all auditors have been saying that, and feeding that back to sort of central government, that it's all very well to talk about reorganisation, but if bodies haven't got audited accounts, it's going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah. Go on then.
You page? Said several times, it's not a page, it's you said several times that the audit team, it depends on the audit team capacity. So it's you, So you're not enough people, or because we know about the council.
I think we have included that comment because, I mean, doing this will involve quite a lot of work on top of what you might normally expect.
Okay. So you mean you would have enough people, but given.
Once this found somebody who's going to pay for it.
Exactly. So no, I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's just I was thinking, what does it mean? Is it you or someone else?
I think, as I said from the start, when AZETS as a firm tendered for this and were awarded, I think we were awarded 27 audits under the PSA contract. We didn't know at the time that something like 2/3 of them would be disclaimed to the appendix. Mm. So we obviously didn't really factor that into our resourcing and planning at the time,
yeah.
But we've been working, and the other issue, as you say, is there's been uncertainty about how this would be funded, like who would actually pay for this if there's quite a lot of additional work required. How would that be funded? There is no clarity on that, in that MHCLG has made grant funding available for bodies, so the council will be able to get some external support for those costs, but it still will require.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, we've got to go back over the disclaim periods and almost redo the audit for a lot of the elements of the accounts.
Thank you.
Fun times. Yeah. And we're also going to waste an awful lot of money doing it as well.
Yeah.
So it's just a question of getting on with it as quickly as we can, and getting at the end point. So the end point allows us to make another decision in the future about what local government reorganisation is going to look like. Because if we have 27 audits, there's going to be some bad numbers are going to be found in. At which point all the reorganisations could fall apart, because the potential co-joiners will say, no, I'm not having that lot of rubbish in with me, because we'll have to take on all those debts. And so it potentially could all fall apart. So it's not without its worries.
Yeah. And I think that's the problem we have as auditors as well, is that it almost seems to be you as members recognise that, us as auditing firms recognise that, but then central government, NAO, don't seem to recognise that. They're both linked. They all seem to think that local government reorganisation will happen whether we like it or not, and that's it. But then actually they don't seem to think that actually the correlation between a clean set of accounts or that assurance needs to happen in order to be able to make LGR as effective and as straightforward as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're trying to keep back all the time as actively as we can to go, what's the most efficient way we can do it to give members the assurance that they obviously require as well on a regular basis.
Yeah.
That isn't going to cost an arm and a leg for both parties involved, and the health and well-being of members on the ground as well, but actually make LGR plausible and reasonable. So it's a forever battle that we're all facing.
Well, it is, because you're quite right. Until you've done the audit, then you don't have solid ground to do LGR on. That is just a fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as could be examined in central government who have a wish to get on and reach the end point. You've got to define what the end point is going to be. And it could well be not what you thought it was if you discover anything during the audit process, which is actually the job we've given you to do. Hopefully they recognise what the process is in, and the demands that they're making on people, that wondrously everybody's knuckling down and trying to give them.
Sure. Do we have a choice, you know, if we agree to the reorganisation, that we're joining with another authority and then this problem's found, are we able to pull out of that reorganisation, or is it just we're going to do it anyway, and it's kind of just...
It's a very good question, because I suppose an Act of Parliament could be put through that says, I don't care what your numbers are, you're doing it. And then we have to. But the sort of mess that will be put together at the end could be another 5 years of auditing work to actually work out where what came from. Because at the end of the day, we don't want that to happen, because it's our assets that are being played with. And we want to use them properly to achieve the ends that our borough wanted to try and achieve. And we don't want to drop into somebody else's hole. So it's in our interest that it's done properly.
On the time scales and the information that will come back to this committee, my reading of it is that we should be at some point expecting to see the 2021, 2022, 2023 in some format a report on that coming back. So we'll have these historic audits effectively coming back to us, but they won't quite be a whole audit. Is that a correct approximation?
What we're basically working through is how the rebuilding of the process will work, which means that for some figures that were in those accounts, we will have to go back and audit those figures. For other elements, you don't need to, because there's some parts of like the closing balance sheet, you can just audit it as it is now and not have to worry about what the position was 2 or 3 years ago. So it'll be a bit of a mix, and I guess what we've not really worked through is exactly how we'd report that to members, because we won't be going back and giving a formal audit opinion on 21-22 now, but we'll have to get assurance on some elements of the figures in there to then build into the getting assurance on sort of March 26 figure or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I guess we've not really worked through exactly how that reporting will work, but we're not going to be formally sort of going back and reissuing all the opinions on those.
Right. And I suppose you won't necessarily see a set of 21-22 accounts again at an audit committee, if that makes sense, because obviously they've been signed off and almost
yes.
passed the bit. I suppose what we've got to do is tell the story. If we find, say, we found an issue every single year, we'd have to almost tell the story how you get from 21-22 to what that means for, let's say, 27-28. It's that storytelling that will be the difficult part, because obviously, the longer we keep the can down the road, the story becomes longer and longer in terms of financial years, but you'll only see the one set of accounts still at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be the storytelling behind, I think.
From my read of the information in front of me, the story will be getting longer and longer until at some point in 25-26, and then it'll be getting shorter.
Yes, on the basis of obviously, as long as obviously capacity allows, and obviously that we continue working, obviously with like Judith, Emma, and Chris, you'll start to see that in a couple of years' time, it will start to hopefully go that way. It is a long term plan rather than the short term gain, if you like. So it is going to be hard work in the short term, but a long term benefit. But hopefully, you'll start to see, if everything goes to plan, less and less every year that relates to the sale, and more sure it starts to creep up naturally. It's almost like a battery filling up with a battery zero, and then hopefully, eventually, it'll start going 0, 1, 2, 3,
yep.
and it'll be a rolling effect then. So,
thanks.
Okay. Any further questions then on the auditor's report?
I don't think we're proposing to go into detail, but I think that, as I say, the kind of indicative timeline is probably a key part. The whole building back assurance stuff we've tried to set out there as best we can, because at the time we were writing a lot of this, there's been a lot of national guidance as well for auditors on how this process might work, so it's been a developing area.
Yeah.
But I think we're now in a position where we're clear how we think it can work, so we're just now trying to implement it.
Yeah. So, and that's your latest thoughts on page 67, is that right? The table of indicative build-back time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of, if everything went to plan and worked perfectly, that's that's what it could look like. But it's, I mean, it will vary by different council as well. I think, you know, we're not yet at the stage where we can be clear about exactly what the timescales are going to be, but I think that's essentially what we've now started working on. So that's the goal, really. Is
right. Okay, well, keep our fingers crossed. Are there any more questions? That takes us on to, is that right, Judy? Item C.
Yes, Chair.
Yeah.
So this gives the committee an update on our progress against the government's improvement plan, but I will just, because we've been talking about the value for money side of the external audit work, this is actually where you'll find the progress update from our side on what we've been doing. We've just rebadged it because we've tied it back into our annual governance statement, but they are one and the same thing. Members will note that whilst we are still making progress, it has been much slower in quarter two, and it will continue to be slow in quarter three, and that is largely due to a good chunk of our resources having been redirected to work on local government reorganisation over the last probably 5 months, I think. So we're still making some progress, but we've just not been able to put as much capacity into that. What we are going to do, and it has highlighted that we are very reliant on like a small number of people, so the Deputy Chief Executive is going to undertake a review of that to see whether there's anything else we can do, and as part of that we will look at what actions we might need to reschedule into the first part of 26-27. So the only one at the moment that we're reporting that we're now not going to bother implementing, it's one of the recommendations around the finance side of things, and it was the lessons learned from the implementation of the finance system. I think we take the view the team were so stretched, and actually that was so long ago now, there's probably very limited information we'd get out of that. So that's the only action that we're not going to actively pursue. We'll still continue to address the others. I say it's just going to take us a bit longer to get there.
So I'm just looking at table one, which is very depressing. One on target, which is 3% of the total. And all the rest are somewhere down in the dregs.
Yeah, we have managed to complete 7 that were outstanding from 24-25 in the first quarter of this year. So we are still ticking some of those through.
Right.
But no, it doesn't make for pretty reading, but as I say, that's largely because resources have been tied up elsewhere. It's not been for the want of trying.
At what point in time do you think it will start to look a bit more user friendly?
As I say, I don't think you'll see a big improvement in quarter three, because we've still been working on our GR for 2/3 of that quarter. But we will, I think we'll see a little bit of movement. I think it'll be probably the end of the year and probably into early 26-27 before we start to see. I think Chris wants to add to that.
If we're honest with this, if we wanted to clean this up, we could. We do it in about 12 months. We just have to actually dedicate resources and focus on it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we've all discussed, and it does get competitive. LGR's crushing us. And if I'm now instructed, which we have to have meetings with them to HCLG and their advanced team for local reorganisation, if I'm going to be instructed over the next 12 months to start setting this up for local reorganisation, so harmonising systems, working on software, working on contracts and everything else, you can largely expect a lot of this work will just have to drop off the table. Because as you said, and you've made clear to me, they will legislate if I don't play ball. So we will have to start doing some of that kind of work as well.
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's a real shame, because we were making ground on this. We were starting to dedicate resources to the audience.
Yeah.
It's incredibly important to me to do that, just from a professional pride, that we actually do some accountancy work. But we're going to have to see what takes shape post-budget,
yeah,
if our funding does to us.
But what we have been doing, for the ones that are outstanding, we have had a quick look through and tried to do a bit of a priority assessment on them and work out the ones that are in, either in most need or actually that we do have the capacity to do.
Yeah.
So I would say we've not given up, it's just taken us a little bit longer.
Oh, definitely. Never give up.
Chair, in theory, the submission has to be in. Our submissions have to be in the 28th of November, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the government makes the final decision around summer of next year. So in theory, there ought to be a bit of space.
Yeah.
But I suspect in practice, that's probably going to be filled by also some other requirements we may need to do, catching up on vital stuff, which we just haven't been able to deal with. So it's not going to be that easy.
No, we're largely waiting at the moment. I know the chief executives are going to be meeting to try and agree what work we might do in preparation ahead of the government's decision. So we're expecting to know sort of early January, I think, what our commitment to that is going to be. But I say, at the moment, we are trying to play a little bit of catch up. I'm certainly actively working on a couple of the actions, and I know that Stephen's worked on a chunk of them and then now sat with me to review as well. So we have still got work ongoing.
Wait and see then. Okay. Well, I hate seeing all these crosses as I go through. Agenda item 3D, internal audit update.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take members through this. This is the standard sort of progress report we bring to every audit committee. I will start this one off saying it is a little bit light in terms of the amount of work that's been done. And the main reason for that is it's actually quite a short period since the last progress report we took in September, because this meeting's been brought forward by a few weeks, so we've essentially lost a month off that, and it's also been a bit of a quiet month in terms of what we've completed. We are still working, and we have got a lot of work that is in progress, and members can see that from the table in there. Essentially, we have 8 audits that we've completed in the year to date, and 9 in progress at the end of October. Of those, the majority have come out as partial assurance. In this particular period for Stafford Borough, we didn't actually issue any work that we gave an assurance on, although we did issue one report that was on quite a narrow focus on the standby and overtime claims, which is contained in Appendix 2. And it was just really the narrow focus of that we didn't feel it was appropriate to give an overall assurance. And really this is looking at the types of things that we do, that we pay standby for, we pay overtime for, and it was trying to get a picture across both councils. However, as Judith alluded to, with plans not to progress transformation at this time, actually the benefits of looking at that for harmonisation and consistency probably aren't there anymore. If we don't progress with LGR and we do transformation, obviously there is more scope for that. The Appendix 3 table lists all the work that is in progress so that you can see work that's coming through, and a significant number of those will be reported in the next quarterly update. So I can say that as of now, towards the end of November, we are quite a long way through quite a lot of those. And things are looking generally good in quite a few of those.
Have you any of those that you have concerns about?
From the current position, obviously the review of the Corporate Value for Money Action Plans, which is the governance report, you've obviously seen Judas reporting that in terms of the progress, so it's just where we're at in terms of that report. probably no surprise to Chris, although we haven't discussed it fully with Emma yet, in terms of the creditors and purchasing cards, we've probably got more concerns on the purchasing card because it's quite a small system and what it's used for. But to put that into context, we actually haven't got an awful lot of spend on it. We haven't got many cards issued and we don't use them a lot.
Yeah.
So it's the nature of that. And probably the land charges transfer, what we've looked at that, the processes. But partly that process is stalled, waiting a date from the land registry actually at the moment. So I wouldn't say I've got major concerns around some of them, but some of them are stalling and not progressing as quickly as we should see.
Can I just ask about my favourite one?
Regeneration.
Yeah. In terms
let's
of
let's
that,
just follow the money for a bit.
In terms of that, I mean, the committee will be aware most of the time that we look at these, we don't give a high level of assurance because of the complexity of it, and we are probably going to be in a similar position of saying that we are doing quite a lot of project management. We have got external project management support in there, but the overall assurance is probably not going to be substantial, I think, because of the nature of the scheme and the nature of the changing plans and priorities in terms of that scheme for Stafford. So there is a lot going on still with that, and I don't think we've actually pinned down on exactly what the final thing will look like at the moment, so therefore as auditors we can't give you assurance that will be achieved.
Perhaps due to the size of it, I could perhaps ask our senior officers and maybe our cabinet member to give us a clue how you feel about these major projects.
Well, they're certainly a risk, aren't they, Chair? There's no question about that. The advice we get from some of the other officers is that things are moving along smoothly. Everything's chickadee-boom. That we've farmed these, or we've actually presented these projects to industry groups and so on.
Yep.
And there seems to be a lot of interest. So
Chris,
who knows what can overturn the apple cart?
Chris, perhaps you could give us a bit more insight.
I'd love to. naturally, these schemes are very high value and by their very nature are difficult and high risk. I know a lot of work has been going on to improve the governance arrangements, and I don't think that we're there quite yet, and I think that's borne out by the internal audit report. And there's definitely more work to be done here, and that will be done by Tim, Greg and myself, giving support and advice to our officers running these projects over the coming months. And I'm aware that will start to come to a head as well as we hopefully move to the next phase when we start to bring in development parks, what have you, because that will be a very different thing when we're trying to negotiate with these giant players in the sector, and we're going to have to be very, very careful and make sure that we get the right advice, the right people around us, and we nail things down very early on with them, because obviously they have much greater resources than us, so we have to make sure that our interests are represented there.
It's dangerous times to not have enough resource to look at these, because this level of expenditure is a multiple of our normal annual spend. And so the cost to getting it wrong becomes a factor in our annual expenditure, which won't be able to be ignored. So my plea is that what resource we have available that's not committed, can we follow the money, please, and put it on the big money ticket things that we're doing, because those are the ones that will hurt us.
I think that's where it starts to come back to the governance improvement plan then gets dropped, because you're reallocating me over to this and pulling me away from all the things with that. They're not resource or people who've done this kind of work.
Yeah.
But again,
I know you're being pulled every which way.
I understand why the prioritisation, and you can see that's why we slipped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is flagged as a big red risk on the strategic risk register.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're really very aware that is a very high risk area. And therefore one's going to be looking at that very carefully and trying to mitigate as many risks as possible.
And I think if MHS, some of that will be picked up in the next report when we do discuss the risk register in terms of where we're at in terms of managing the risks as well.
One thing I'd also mention, of course, and perhaps it wasn't thought about enough initially, the impact that regeneration has on some of the back office areas. I mean, for example, finance, legal, have had an enormous amount of additional work placed upon them, and it's sort of invisible. It's not there in the public eye, you know. It's planning, it's regeneration. They're the ones who see sort of saying we're having a building here and a building there and all the rest of it. It all seems wonderful. But there are people working their socks off in finance, legal, one or two other departments as well, who are back office, who aren't seeing, and they're bearing a great brunt of the work.
Absolutely. Because what you have are two major things that are a huge requirement on back office. To write out the legal definitions of a £100 million contract, which we've got three of them, is going to take a lot of effort when our normal expenditure is 30 million. And then we've got to look at all the factors that come into doing a regeneration, where we've got to put our future jigsaw puzzle together to make that work as well.
But you must remember that this council actually bid for those grants years ago.
It's a little bit like our auditors bidding for our audit contract. They didn't know what they were taking on. it's something that I had highlighted to the chief executive a number of years ago. That this scoping is very difficult to do, and you need the right people in the right place.
Chair, where does the risk come from as a breakdown? I mean, if we got the grant to demolish the buildings and we've demolished them, then that's okay. We haven't, say, overspent on the demolishing them. So where does the risk come into it?
Building them back again.
But don't we just put them out and a developer does that? Or no?
Well, that's what will happen, but there's a little bit, the factor in it is what's it going to cost?
Well, we would have to pay them, would we, at all?
Well, we've got a set amount of money, and we've got a project to complete. And it's the control where the very large development companies don't run rings around us. You get cost runaway, or even we could cause the problem ourselves by changing a spec here and there, which totally changes the cost profile of the project. And they've got a legitimate right to say, well, if you want that, it's going to cost this much, and who can I ask to pay it at the end of the day?
I thought maybe the developers just took over the risk of building whatever they're going to build, but no, we've got to agree with them, like, what they're going to build.
The detail of the project has got to come through.
So the risk, just to support the chair's point on this, we have stringent conditions around the grants. We have not completed our demolition programme. For example, the Wilco site, the additional shops we bought, we've got to demolish them in time as well. So what you're seeing is some of it, not all. There are issues around those sites in terms of finishing that clearance. And as the chair said, once we have cleared sites, if we enter development agreements, there will have to be a risk sharing element, because no one is going to do that. We're not going to give them the sites for free. There is intrinsic value in those sites from our perspective. So it's making sure that value is shared and risk is shared. And then, as the chair says, controlling what is built afterwards. Otherwise, we could end up with monolithic things that aren't suitable for Stafford, which will make a profit for them, but might not suit us. And we will not be able to change our minds at that point. And if we did, we vary the spec. That is a death of so many projects. Don't vary it once you get going. Get it right in the start. You see it with software, you see it with commercial developers. we have to get it right from the word go. And the risk around that is huge to get the small print right, because they'll say, we'll build out X number of units unless we specify yes, but in this style, this density, this square footage, to this finish, you can get down to the level of, when I did this in the previous authority, we got to the level of large about door handles, the sizes of the doors, where the handles were placed. We got to that level of detail because they were scrimping that much on savings. If you haven't specified that up front, they'll give you the cheapest thing in the world, and then the maintenance costs will be through the roof. Do we want to own some of this afterwards? Are we going to run it? Do we want to have nomination rights on this? There is a whole world of things that will take years to thrash through. And if you get it wrong, the developers will always get it right. And that's not to say they're bad people. They're out there doing their jobs, but we have to do ours as well.
So that's why the size is such a threat, because the level of detail goes up by the size of the project. And it's not what we're normally manned up for. So,
and don't forget, Chair, if it is going to take a few years to sort things out, well, we're going to be engulfed. If things carry on, we're going to be engulfed by a local government reorganisation.
Yeah.
And
at
the
same time,
the authority is going to be stuck with all this, and it's a question of what decisions they're going to make then.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy days.
Interesting times.
Yeah. The Chinese version of interesting times. Yeah.
If I may, Chair, the only other bits I wanted to draw members' attention to is Appendix 4 on page 98, which is the follow-ups that we've done in the period. And there's two in there. Both are still partial assurance. The first one, environmental protection and pollution controls, the second follow-up we've done, and there is now only one area outstanding, and that is really looking at finalising some of the revised processes and looking if the software can be utilised better to provide templates and things like that for the team. So whilst it is a riskier area, most of the bigger elements have been done, but we didn't feel that could change. And Street Scene, which is the fourth follow-up that we've done, it still has four out of the five recommendations outstanding from the previous follow-up. And again, some of this is capacity issues, because it is things like mapping the shrub maintenance routes. We have done most of the street cleansing routes and most of the grounds routes, so they've done the bulk of the remapping of the work, but not all of it. And there's still some reliance on a few key officers for overtime, but a lot less than when we did the earlier work. There is still some work outstanding on replacing vehicles, although I think that has now progressed since we've done the work, and the team have purchased a lot more vehicles. And finally, this area of the commercial works that we do, so where we are actually selling a service as a commercial enterprise, the review that we've recommended on that to make sure it is cost effective and we are making money on it, and it is worthwhile to do those commercial services, still hasn't been done. And again, part of that is to do with the transformation, the reorganisation of that service, and putting those responsibilities on new officers, and that's not quite settled down yet. So that area is outstanding. So I think that one is probably a little bit more concerned. Some of it is just time pressure, but I think that commercial review is probably the biggest area that's outstanding for that. And then there was one just final bit in the provisional audit work plan on Appendix 5, and that, as Judith and Chris mentioned earlier, we are proposing to drop the piece of work on the new financial system lessons learned, because we're not going to do that corporately as an exercise. So that's everything I wanted to draw members' attention to on that item, but I'm happy to take questions, Chair.
I just have a vocabulary question.
Yes.
What is shrub maintenance? It's the shrubs on the
roots? Where they do it. So it's the bushes and the shrubs. It is where they go out and do that. So it is basically where you see the roadside verges with shrubs or town centres, as opposed to the grass cutting or trees and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Could I ask you, do the external auditors get to see the internal audit reports as spot.
Yes. So normally, yes, I suppose so.
So you use that as part of your assessment as well.
So we obtain the internal audit reports obviously as and when we need them. We obviously don't necessarily place direct assurance on them because obviously we have to undertake our own obviously audit and be independent and do our own procedures. But we are allowed to obviously have conversations, obviously we see on a regular basis if we need to, and sort of liaise, especially from a value for money perspective, because obviously Stephen and internal audit have done a lot of work on the same regeneration. Then would be naive not to at least look at that and actually see where a good starting position is to then utilise that as a foundation for our own work. So whilst we don't place direct reliance on it, we won't need more of the work, obviously the hard work that's gone into that as well.
Thank you.
Just turning the pages now then on the last few. Updating the strategic risk register.
Thank you, Chair. So, in summary, members will see from the table that's set out at 3.1 and then the summary that's given in Appendix 1 that there aren't any new risks that we've added to the risk register at the end of September, and neither have the risk scores changed. What you will see as well in the appendix is you've got details in Appendix 2 of kind of the progress that's been made against the red risks. Now, there has been some slippage in that, and we're working with the heads of service at the moment to look at how we can better keep members informed of some of the challenges they're facing and how we best articulate what's happening on that. If I give you an example, one of the risks is around tree management, and that's a risk that's not going to reduce its score quickly because there's a big piece of work to be done behind that in terms of procuring a new IT system, uploading of that with all of the data, and then actually delivering the work. So that's probably going to take probably 18 months to 2 years really before that risk will come down. So as I say, we're trying to work with the heads to try and quantify that a little bit more for the committee so you don't just look at it and think, oh, that risk's not coming down, they're not doing anything. Yeah. There is actually a lot of work going on behind the scenes to do this. It's just some of them are going to be much bigger pieces of work. What we want to be able to do is try and differentiate between those ones and perhaps some of the ones we might have expected to have reduced by now, or where there's been some slippage. We're not quite there yet, but we are continuing to evolve through, you know, through the piece of work we've done in updating our risk management policy strategy and our approach to all of this. But I say, for the committee's purposes, no new risk, no changes in risk score. It's a fairly stable position in that regard.
Right.
And I wasn't going to say anything more on that, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Judy? I see on the bottom of page 118 that the actions completed monthly risk registers and dashboards to the leadership team and project board. Action completed. Performance dashboards and risk registers have been produced and reported.
If I may, Chair, this is to do with the regeneration project, so it's on the risk for the regeneration project, and it is an outstanding action that had been there for a while that we hadn't got effective risk reporting in any shape or form in terms of the project board, and more particularly to leadership team. They have now started doing reporting the key risks at the project board meetings,
right.
And they have also reported, I think, at least once to leadership team on the risks where they are, and that's the comment. Yeah, but that's the comment from the managers in completing this risk register.
Right.
I think, Chair, if I could just add to that, it comes back to the earlier question you asked about kind of Stephen's confidence around the regeneration schemes. while some of these things are reported as being dealt with, what we're looking for is how well they're sustained. So that's reported at a point in time. We want to see that that's sustained before we'll kind of move our level of assurance up on it.
Right.
And that's the much harder bit for everybody, is keeping that level and continuing to improve on it, because they too are part of our journey in terms of looking at how we better manage risk. So they're still finding their feet, and I think it's fair to say they've still got a way to go on that as well.
Yeah.
But I say, at least it's heading in the right direction. But I say, we want to see a little bit more of it before we're...
I think Judith put it quite succinctly there, Chair. I think from with an auditor's hat on, I probably would want more from an actual, they have started reporting it, it's ticked off in the risk register to say that action that we hadn't reported this information is there. We do need to make sure it carries on and it is a regular report and not just once a year or something like that. But it particularly for those... this risk for the regeneration project, I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head, I think there was in the region of about 500 risks they'd identified with the contractors and various other people involved in this project on various risk registers that different people had pulled together that they tried to harmonise to feed into our strategic risk register. So it's been a big exercise trying to get their head around that understanding, and where in the old days they would have probably said it's okay, we don't have to worry about it, it's a risk for the contractor, we are now working with them to make it clear that the council does need to still have that oversight and ownership of the higher level risks, even if they are passed on to the contractor. We need to make sure they are doing what they should be doing. So it hasn't been an easy task, but they've got the first hurdle that we are now reporting some of that to the board.
Right. Hopefully, given that we are targeting our scarce resources, we will be aiming them at the highest commercial risk areas.
In terms of the audit work, we do try and focus, and we have got working on those highest corporate risks and also financial risks, project risks. Yeah, the regeneration scheme is for both councils has formed quite a big chunk of work for my team over the last few years, and is going to take a lot of work over the next few years as we hit different stages in terms of trying to get that assurance for the risk registers as well. We are challenging where we can. Obviously it is leadership team's risk register and we collate it and report it here, but as the audit team we also do look at the risks as they're going through to validate them as best we can.
Any other questions? Annual Ripper review. Resources. We could always ask Ralph about it.
Not a lot to say.
We're all going to
say there's nothing to say, but
we're all going
to get to say it.
So
we haven't to report on that this time.
Yeah.
We haven't used it, so
yeah. Any questions?
Nope.
Thank you very much for your attention. Thank our auditors for coming along.
Yes.
We hope the picture gradually clears as you plough through it, and good luck.
Thank you. We'll make sure we give you regular updates and future meetings and all that kind of stuff as well.